Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hire some marketing bro. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on social media at JT Literally. We bring on regular business owners just like you and me to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives about AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. BBAI is sponsored by Conversational Funnels. The easiest way to get more sales is to get more chances to sell. We used one simple conversational funnel to casually book 121 qualified sales opportunities in less than 2 weeks in a brand new market where we had zero presence and zero connections, all without spending on ads, doing cold outreach, or posting endlessly on social media. This is the new way to close high-ticket clients for 2025, and it only takes minutes to start booking calls. Download the blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. Today's guest is Alex Levin. Alex is a former executive at Angie's List and grew that to a billion-dollar valuation, and now he is the co-founder and CEO of Regal, which provides AI tools for contact centers. Alex, welcome to Basic Business AI, and from your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of the contact center industry?
Thank you for having me. So in our industry, you know, it's sort of primed for AI. So I'd say 10 years from now, 90%+ of interactions will be handled by AI agents, not by human agents. And that's sort of shocking to people when I say that, because there's 16 million human beings today that work in contact centers. And they go, oh my goodness, like what's going to happen? And I people's second thought is, oh, is that going to be a terrible experience? And I go, no, like actually, like even today, AI agents are finally at a place where they're good enough and they're human-like. And if this is the worst they're ever going to be, you know, over the next 10 years, it's going to be shocking. You know, they're actually going to be way better than a human. They'll be always available. Omnipotent. So they'll know everything, you know, all knowing. And, you know, they're going to be quite helpful to humans. If I think about our industry specifically, the reason it's so primed for this transition is that contact centers, by definition, do a great job of structuring the type of conversation and tagging data. So in a lot of industries, people are running around. Like I have a friend who has a business where they're trying to have an AI nurse, and they're spending all this time trying to tag information, understand what's happening in the conversation, and it's not very well structured. But in the contact center, every call for years has been recorded, has been dispositioned, the outcomes have been tracked, you know exactly what the agent is supposed to do. So it's actually very well suited for the transition to AI. You know, today I'd say our customers move 10 or 20% of their, mostly we focus on moving calls over, but you know, also obviously the text interactions. So, you know, I'd say 10 or 20% are moving over to AI agents, and slowly it'll be more. The tech stuff has become super commoditized, and we do it, you know, Regal can do it. But where we really differentiate is in the voice, where it's actually much harder because it's a real-time conversation. It has to happen quickly. You have to have some niceties and some conversational pieces that are quite difficult to get right.
Oh, yeah, you heard that right, or you said that right, because we have an AI company, and you know, one of the biggest tripping points is the idea of AI voice is great. And it's very simple to demonstrate, and it's very compelling. There's a lot of sexiness to it. But then when you have to actually hook it into something and actually have it communicate with a database and update records and those sorts of things, then it starts to get real hairy real quick. And that's where a company like yours comes in and, you know, takes that complexity off of the business owner's plate, because it's like, it's a whole nother skill. Like we built this entire podcast around people who want to know the idea, but don't necessarily want to dig into all of the kind of nuts and bolts of how it works. And so I'm curious, just because I've done a lot of kind of studying on this, it seems like the adoption of AI as a consumer is much higher than the perception from the business owner, because a business owner will say, like you said earlier, well, my people want to talk to humans. My people prefer, you know, a real authentic communication, and my people are more sophisticated. Whereas the consumers are kind of saying, hey man, I don't care as long as I get the answer to my question fast. So could you talk a little bit about the differences in the ideologies there?
Yeah, you know, I think consumers are in a place where they don't trust companies, contact centers, right? Because every time they try to reach out, nobody answers, or they get sent back to self-serve or sent to like,
Or it's a
deflected to a text
terrible
message.
experience in some way.
So
Yeah.
yeah, consumers are very disappointed. Consumers are just saying, for goodness sakes, like I'm paying you my hard-earned money. Why are you not serving, serving me well? Businesses, on the other hand, are largely, it's funny, like trying to lower their costs as much as possible. And in that sort of effort, largely moving into channels that are very, low quality, low touch channels. And so what I think actually, AI holds the promise of is the ability for a business to have a very high quality, interaction with a customer at a very low cost. And so as businesses start realizing that they shouldn't move everything to low touch, low quality channels, and instead move to AI, which is high quality, low cost, that'll sort of change the mind of business owners quite a lot. I think on the consumer side, for the longest time, they've always wanted sort of, I want to reach it when I want to reach it in the channel I want to reach them. But I think AI agents have put them off. Like you get an AI agent, you go, oh, not again. Well, they've been bad. Like I remember calling
Yeah.
Amtrak even last year, and they tried to do something, and I go, representative, rep, I'm yelling at the, AI because like it's so bad.
And
But
so
finally they're
let's
good enough now that as humans are starting to interact with the new ones, not bots, but true generative AI agents, it really is showing them it's worthwhile.
talk a little bit about the difference there, because the thing that's stuck, there's a little bit of like the Mandela effect. We remember things the way that we think they used to be. Everybody's called their bank and gotten like the IVR from hell. Everybody has called their cell phone provider and gotten stuck with somebody in India or the Philippines or whatever. Nothing wrong with Indians or Filipinos, but that experience has been very negative, and that's planted in our brains. And now it's like, oh, it's a robot. Ugh. It's like we're already preconditioned to hate this stuff. And so what is the difference between the experience that we've had and that we collectively remember and the changes that have happened so recently with generative AI?
Yeah. So before the option, like I said, was a human agent, which was expensive and honestly, actually hard to train and not always sort of on top of everything that was going on, but felt more empathetic, felt human. And let's say a deterministic bot is how I would call it, where there's a set of rules, like ask the customer, did they go to college? Yes or no? And depending on that, they say yes, then ask the customer, how many years did they go to college? And if they say, okay, did they, what kind of degree do they get? And that's how it had to work because it's deterministic. The value of AI agents is it's both more human than the human, meaning, and it's a crazy thing to think about, but like I said, always available, omniscient, more empathetic than the human. And at the same time, it's not body. So it has the good qualities of software in that it can do things that humans can't, but it doesn't have any of the bad qualities. So it's not deterministic, it's stochastic. Like it's like talking with a human. Every conversation you have with one AI bot could go 15 different directions because they're just having a conversation with you. Now, within the context of a contact center, we massively lock it down and we say, okay, this conversation is about a refund. So if the customer asks about the election, because that just happened, like you're not going to opine on that. If the customer asks about something else, like you're going to bring it back. If there's certain things that they can transfer to humans. So within the context of the contact center, we lock down, but still it's not a deterministic conversation. It is this stochastic thing. So from a human conversation, it feels quite nice. Part of what's interesting is I actually think contact centers are uniquely suited to manage AI agents. And I say manage intentionally because it's not software, right? In software, a developer builds something, they test it once, and they put it live on your website. And they know it'll always function exactly the same way because it's that software. With AI agents, well, you've set them up and you train them, and then you do it 100 times, they're going to have 100 different interactions. And people who manage contact centers are used to having to manage individuals that do things very different and figure out how to coach them and make them walk the straight and narrow. So again, contact centers are a great place for AI agents to be rolled out.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because as a guy that my very first job was in a boiler room, hitting the phones 120, 130 dials a day manually, and You had to dispo every call. You had to say what happened. Everything was recorded, and somebody was in the back room, like dissecting it and coming out and yelling at you because you didn't overcome the right objections and stuff. And all that stuff, there's so much data. And if you can feed that into the AI, the more data AI has, the better it can perform and mimic humans and kind of generalize that data.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that's helpful for us is we build software for contact centers, excuse me, and have a lot of data that we can use to make sure our models are fine-tuned for the industries we work in: insurance, healthcare, lending, local services, education. One of the amusing things I always tell people is, even though we can get everything ready, one of the things the AI is worst at is pronouncing the brand name. So we have to actually teach the AI each time there's a new brand, how do you say SoFi? Because SoFi is not a word that like is in the English dictionary and like has been said for years. It's just a specific brand. So it is kind of amusing actually to teach AI how to pronounce certain brand names to make sure they say it correctly.
Right. Yeah. One thing that I'd love to have you comment on this. One thing that I've noticed is it's especially noticeable with AI voice. It's like 98% human, but there's that 2% gap. And being 100% human, most of us can hear that gap. And it's like, you know, that you're not talking to a person, even though it's like, I'm not sure. But if like you've ever not been sure if you're talking to a human, you're probably not.
Yeah, you never
And
know. I
so
mean, so
talk.
some of the hardest parts are one thing that with humans they call mirroring. Like if I lean forward, you lean forward. If I go, I'm excited, you say I'm excited, right? You know, if I'm sad, you're sad. So that sort of mirroring in voice is a little bit difficult for AI agents and something we've worked on quite a lot. Also, the speed of response is quite difficult. So with human conversations, it's 600 milliseconds. So like we're now at a point where we're sub 800 milliseconds. So it's getting close and it sounds close enough, but as you get over most AI agents are over a second, it feels off in sort of response time. And then there's niceties, there's ums and ahs and all that. So you know, which again we've taught the AI agents, but don't quite feel 100% right yet. So we certainly spend a lot of time continuing to improve that and make sure these agents, you know, are freakishly human sounding, so to speak.
Nice. And so, where can we go to learn more about what you do and who you serve?
Yeah, so you can always go to regal.ai and we talk more about, you know, how we do what we do. In the end, we really focus on what I'd call high touch or high consideration industries, healthcare, insurance, lending, local services, education, where that customer interaction is so critical and where they're constantly trying to find ways to raise, improve the customer interaction, but save money. And that's really where we have a lot of success. And we work with, you know, a ton of great brands. So, you know, if you ever want to email me, if you're running a contact center or things like that, you know, just use hello@regal.ai.
Excellent. We're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Alex Levin, for joining us for a practical conversation about AI and its potential for growing your conversations with your customers through the contact center. You can learn more about what he does by visiting his website, regal.ai. If you run a business of any size and you have some ideas or strategies around the topic of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all levels, especially the 90% of us who are curious about AI, but not trying to be tech geniuses. You can apply for a future episode by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to stuff your calendar with qualified, motivated, ideal clients who actually want what you have, you can download the Conversational Funnels Blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. We'll see you next time here on Basic Business AI. And by the way, if you like this episode, tell your friends. See you later.